come up and share our message today. It's good to have Lee back and sharing with us. And we get a round of applause, Lee. I don't normally get a round of applause. I don't get a round of applause, do I? Everyone's getting a round of applause but me today. Never mind. I'm staying humble. Let me pray for you, mate. Lord, we thank you for Lee. Lord, we thank you for his heart for you. I thank you for his ministry, especially his ministry in his heart that he towards those that are on the marginals of our community, and for the way his desire is to go far above and beyond to help those and to help those find Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd use him today to speak to us. And Lord, as he gives out, would you abundantly pour back into him in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you this, is that all right? Clip that somewhere.
You probably can hear me anyway. Here we go. Right. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Well, to the mums. You're welcome. I mean, let's face it, Father's Day is kind of like a poor man's Mother's Day anyway, isn't it? So get what you can now. I waited in bed all morning. Nothing. Not a brew. Not a sandwich. But gotta love them. No, mothers are important. They really are. Unfortunately, my message is nothing to do with Mother's Day, but thought I'd honour you all before I start, because you all do a great job, especially my wife. She's an amazing mum to our six daughters, because we've got a dog, Queenie, who is very demanding, but she got Leslie some lovely gifts. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we're here to honour you, to bring glory to your name. Father, to remember today that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that you sit on the throne of heaven, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the message that I want to bring, and I've been limited to 30 minutes, so I'm going to try my hardest to stay behind this pulpit and not roam around. But some of you may or may not know that. So I speak on a Christian TV channel via Facebook called Torchlighters TV. It's at 7:30 on a Monday. So I will be preaching this message tomorrow night as well. So I can, you know, I'm sure God will forgive me if I skip through some certain things. But I wanted to talk about living in the supernatural, because it's something as Christians that is our inheritance. It's who we are. I mean, I don't know why you've come to church this morning. I don't know whether you've come because it's Mother's Day, whether you've come because you're just so in love with Jesus that you want to encounter him in a fresh new way. Maybe it's both. But one thing I know is that as his church, we can encounter him every single day. Jesus said that all authority, all is a very absolute word. It means if God has got all the authority, the devil's got none. Only that what we hand over. So we can come and we can have the worst day ever. But as soon as we step into that supernatural realm, because that is our inheritance, we might not always feel like it. We might not always feel that we're of a supernatural kind of disposition, but we are, because we belong to Jesus. When we said yes to God, when we said, God, I'm sorry, forgive me of absolutely everything I've done, when we made that kind of exchange with all our filth and all our badness, and God replaced it with his grace and his beauty, we became supernatural. I want to read a scripture. You can put it up on the screen if you will, Dan. I've got a few scriptures. I may not get through them all. But let me just. Is it up on the screen? Yep. All right. So the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place her hands on sick people and they will get well. Now, I've got a few other scriptures that I want to read in a moment. But you know what? It's true. See, you can't believe some of the Bible and not the rest. The Bible is, it's 66 books that are there to narrate the story of grace and love, redemption, freedom for the believer. You know, I was, and I'm sure other people did the other day, heard the over social media about Easter being cancelled. I mean, thank God that we've got pastors like Dave that really want to champion Easter. It's almost like when I look outside, I don't recognise where I live anymore. When we live in a society where they can just say, we're not going to do Easter because it's not inclusive, that it's not diverse enough. And I'm thinking, Lord, what is going on? But we have a job to do as a church. We need to rise up. We need to speak up. We need to declare who Jesus is and what he did. We need to be proud of who we are in God. Because you know what? There are days where I don't feel like getting up in the morning. I feel like sometimes I'm fighting constant battles. As we speak, I'm fighting a battle just to get Good Friday off because they've given me a rotor as big as my arm. But believe me when I say God will come first. Whatever it costs, God will come first, because what he did for me at that cross, the price he paid for me at that cross, the least I can do is make sure I'm here on Good Friday. I may have about 10 service users with me, but I will be here. But you know what? Many Christians live limited lives, right? Bound by what they can see, hear or feel, because we look around us and we're limited by what we see. And we forget that we have the Holy Spirit. You know what's been really good over the last few weeks? I've heard the odd prophecy in tongues, and you know, it gets me all giddy and stuff, and I try to sort of contain myself a little bit so I don't start doing the old Pentecostal rolls on the floor and stuff. But I love it because it's a reminder to me that God is still moving, that we shouldn't fear it, because this is exactly what the Bible says, that we'll speak in new tongues when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, that we'll prophesy and hear the voice of God and declare it, because we're supernatural people. Or is it just me who believes that? I don't believe that's the case. I believe that we can get comfy in our churches. It's very easy to preach the gospel in church. Dead easy, really, because we're all like-minded people. But what about when we need something more? What about when our hearts are broke and we need a touch from God? What about if our head is full of negative memories because we've suffered loss over the years? What do we do then? Who do we turn to? Let me tell you, he's the one who heals the broken hearts. That's who he is. He can take the hardest of hearts. He can just make it so soft. He can just step in any time where you're feeling like enough is enough, I'm throwing the towel in. When you turn to God, when you ask God by his supernatural power to do some divine intervention, let me tell you, he is faithful. Doesn't matter what you've gone through, doesn't matter what you're going through, doesn't matter what your background says, doesn't matter what your resume is, doesn't matter what drugs you've taken or what drunk you've... God is God and he loves you so much. And he's got a plan and a purpose for your life. But we are supernatural people. We need to start believing for the miraculous. I have seen miracles in my life that you would probably think I'm making it up. But I have seen God move in amazing ways. Dave's a miracle. David's a miracle. He came to us not long ago saying that he'd been diagnosed with cancer. We began to pray. The tumour started to shrink. We continued to pray. He rang me up at work and said, Lee, I've been to the hospital. The doctor said, you are now cancer free. Do you know what I mean? God is still moving. Pat, our dear sister there, two Pats on one row, that's dangerous. That's a lot of spiritual warfare. But I remember Derek, what a character. But I remember Pat's son Derek, he wanted to show me his new house, what he had with Janet up on the tops. And I was going doing an assembly at Phil's school, and I was already going to be late. And he's like, don't worry, I'll have you there on time. You know what Derek was like, Pat? And I'm like, all right, and we was going round him, just looking at this, and oh, we'll just stop here, and we'll just stop there. And he went, just driving down the road, and we had about 8 minutes to get from Royton to Phil's school. And he turned this corner in Royton, and he went, well, just go and see my mum for a minute. And I'm like, ah, but he was like that, Derek. You just had to go with the flow, because it didn't matter what you said, he was going to do it anyway. So we get to his mum, and just as we got to the door, he went, oh, Mum, this is Lee, one of the pastors from church. He's come to pray for you, for your cancer. And I was stood at the door, me thinking, all right. But we began to pray, but what were different was the Holy Spirit showed up. Because it's not about whether or not we have the ability to pray for someone's healing and they'll get healed based on how we say it. It's all about God. Remember what Jesus said, that all authority, but we don't always pray in authority. We don't always pray with conviction. We pray out of duty. We pray out because it's a corporate prayer. And I love the fact that we pray the Lord's Prayer, because I love that. But there's something about when we just pray with authority, when we pray with conviction, when we speak to a sickness and command it to leave. We prayed for Pat a few weeks later. Our senior pastor at the time was counselling a couple that were breaking up, but he didn't turn up. And I was in the office next door, so it fell on my toes. I can't even change a plug. But what do you want advice from me for? But I was in this meeting. It was one of those, Dave, you'll know when you meet with people and it just drains the very life because it was so negative. And I remember sat at my desk with my head in my hands, feeling like I wanted the ground to swallow me up, and Derek rang me up, and he just had this ability of you just making me laugh. You know, even at funerals, you know, the places where you shouldn't laugh, Derek would make you laugh. He just had that way about him. But he rang me up, and he was such an encourager. He went, I just need to tell you, do you know that same power that was in Jesus, it's in you. He said, because my mum has been completely healed. And I was like, I needed that in that moment, and it spurred me on, because it's a reminder that no matter what we're going through, no matter what it looks like on face value, God is still working behind the scenes. You know, there's singing Christian songs, then there's worship. Sometimes we've got to be careful that we don't get caught up in the Christian karaoke vibe, where we want to, I don't sing that one because I don't really know it. And then another one comes on. It's like, boom, from on this one. My Redeemer lives. Because I know that one. Yeah. But we've got to remember what it is to worship. You know, apologies. Myself and Leslie was a 60th wedding anniversary yesterday. It was the longest one in the world. Started at 2 o'clock. We didn't get home till 7. Right. And I'll be honest with you. Leslie knows I only went because there was cheese and onion pie and meat potato pie. And the catering team were well late. We had, I think between us, we had about 18 bags of crisp. And I'm not joking. They just kept coming up, filling this tray. I think they felt a bit embarrassed because the food were late. So by the time it had come, I was in like semi-food coma. And we drove past, and I remembered about the worship night. Because worship is important to living a supernatural life. Because when you have a healthy prayer life and you're a worshipper, chains can break. barriers can come down. Something shifts in the heavenlies when you begin to worship. When you worship in spirit and truth, not worship because the pastor says stand up while we sing this song, but where you're already engaged with it. Because the worship team, their job is to lead us into worship, not to do it for us, but to lead us into a place of worship. And I actually love the fact that we don't face that way, so we don't get distracted by all the amazing singers and the wonderful musicians, but actually it causes us to focus on God. I always remember that the first time we came, and it had been so long since we'd looked at the words and read them words, what we were singing, and we was just in tears, me and Leslie, because we was in that place where we needed to just be worshipping God. Nothing else. Everything else had to just be put to the side, and we just needed to worship God and be thankful. Even thankful for the tough times, because these are opportunities to press in. They're opportunities to see God move. You know, I remember being in Uganda, Georgia, and just seeing God move on a completely different level. Not because he's a different God in Uganda than he is here, but it was just powerful to witness what God could do with desperate people. When I say desperate, I mean desperate in here. Desperate for God to move. And I asked myself, Lee, when was the last time you got completely desperate for God to move in your situation? Because I tell you what, we're fighting all the time spiritually in our lives. We're battling for our kids all the time because the enemy has done a field day with our kids. But you know, we're thankful that we've kept going and that we're seeing God breaking in the lives of our children. We've seen God claim victories in the life of Faith and the other girls because we've been persistent and we've not give up. There has been times where if I had any, I'd pull my hair out as a dad because I can't see what I can bring to the table to make things any better. But then God, when I leave that natural mindset of thinking I can't do anything now, but I know God can. I know God can. And what I do then is I understand that I need to pray. There's nothing I can say that can change her situation. So I need to pray. And not just pray for the sake because I'm a Christian and that's it. But really do some business. Really connect with God. Really worship. There's been times where, as a family, we've been facing extreme things where I've even questioned my own walk with God. What am I doing wrong? Why am I in this position? You know, like in the Bible, you know, Lord, I've done this, I've done that in your name. Why am I going through this? And I've been in a situation where I've got no answers. And God's just spoke and told me to worship. Because worship is so powerful. Prayer is so powerful. Not, we've got to chisel off the religious mindset of it and understand about encountering God and what does that look like. Really encountering God. I mean, having a real sort of moment with God where you get that audience of one. Where no matter how harsh your life is, no matter what you're going through, that you can press into God at any moment for anything, and you'll see the kingdom. You will see the kingdom of God. You are a child of God. It's your inheritance. You know, we say it so kind of, do we fully believe it sometimes? What? I'm a child of God. You know, if I mention that at work, you know, when they're asking me my details, oh yeah, mother and father, well, my heavenly father's Jesus, my earthly father's Paul Marsland. You know, they're going to look at me like I've got two heads, and we refrain away from declaring that we are children of God. That it is our inheritance to see the kingdom advance. It is our inheritance to see people get well when we lay hands on them. Don't feel uncomfortable or be frightened if somebody suddenly begins to speak in tongues. Embrace it. Pray that maybe you're the one that God is going to give the interpretation. You know, I'm glad Dave's prayed this morning about being free, having a freedom, because we are free. And whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. And if we can't be free in church, we have no business trying to be free outside for an audience. We have to be free in the presence. Because in the presence of God, Dave, that's where the power is. So keep coming to church, brother. Keep coming to church when you don't feel like coming. Make an extra effort. Because it's in them moments where you want to give up. It's in them moments where you feel like you can't go anymore. Them are the times that you need to get up and be led. Remember Leslie saying to me many years ago, something was going on in her personal life. She said, I'm not coming to church today. That's your call. But it's not me you're going to stand before God for. And we walked to church. We didn't drive then. 5 minutes later, Leslie come running in the door. Because she knew that no matter what was getting in the way, she needed to break through. How are we ever going to see breakthrough in our lives if we don't press in? If we don't worship God when we don't feel like it? You know, it's easy. I love my wife. She's thinking, why are you picking on me? I love my wife. It's very easy for me to say to Leslie, I love you, Leslie, because I love her. Yeah, that's easy. But what about when someone's doing you wrong? What about when we're at the lighthouse and, you know, somebody's abusing you, someone's threatening you? What about telling them, yeah, but I love you? It's one of the hardest things in the world, because everything in your natural instinct tells you to walk away. But you know what? You'd be surprised. You'd be so surprised at the power of when you look at what is deemed to be your enemy and tell them, you know what? I love you. I love you. God loves you. You can break down barriers. You can break down walls. There are so many people outside these walls that are desperate for Jesus. And you know, we talk about the harvest field. It's ripe. It's there for the picking. Because people are desperate. The world is in chaos. You've seen it day in and day out. You know, the country is unrecognisable. So the church has to rise up. It's the church's job, by the way. That's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why he died and he rose again. So that his church would move across the nations, would move across the planet to spread the good news. That there's a God in heaven that loves people. That there's a God in heaven that can wipe away sins and make people right. That's what people want. Nobody wakes up one morning and thinks, you know what, I want to be an heroin addict. I want to be a crack addict. I want to be an addict. I want to be an alcoholic. Nobody wakes up. I know, because that's my background. I remember feeling full of shame every day. But rather than people ridicule me, I would ridicule myself. But all I really wanted was stability. All I wanted was to be loved. All I wanted was to make someone proud of me. But instead, I chose to act like an idiot and do crazy things, because that's what people expected. But what I really wanted was to be loved. So that when someone told me that Jesus loved me, it ripped my world apart. For some people it might be something else, but understanding that no matter what I'd done, no matter what I've been going through, that Jesus loved me, it just set me on a path And I'm still on that journey. And I'm still loving it. It's still hard, but I'm still loving God. I feel like I'm more in love with Jesus today than I was yesterday. And I know I'm going to be more in love with him tomorrow, because that's my journey. I love God. I don't get everything right, but I don't claim to be perfect. But I do love God. And I do want to see the miraculous in my life. I'm already seeing it. We're seeing God move in our lives. And it's at his time, not mine. It's in his ways, not my ways. But he's moving. He's moving. And I believe that the greatest, you know, Andrew prayed this morning for revival. But it has to start with us. It starts with us. You know, I've been to many churches. I've been in church for 26 years now. More than some, but not others. But I have heard countless. I've been to many, many prayer meetings of send revival, send revival, send revival. Well, guess what? Revival's here, right? It takes one person to let the fire overspill onto someone else. It needs a church to rise up and be who they were called to be. A supernatural presence of God here on earth. We should be laying hands on the sick and they'll get well, because that's a promise. We can rebuke and cast out demons. And believe me when I said they're real. They're real, guys. The demonic is everywhere. It's plaguing people. It's causing people to make crazy decisions. Don't think that the book of Acts was when all the funky stuff and the church just erupted and, you know, that was for then. No, the book of Acts was the beginning of the church. We are the New Testament church. Our supernatural should be our natural. It should be. Our supernatural should be our natural. We joked this morning, me and Dave, but I was speaking at half hour with Jesus and everything went wrong. There was a woman at the back dying, literally. That she was in a wheelchair and she started to choke and she couldn't breathe. And I thought, what do I do now? Do I stop? Do I get everyone to pray? I really didn't know what to do, because it was just like caught me off guard. I thought, I was speaking about living by faith, you know. So we cannot pray for this woman. So this is being filmed and we're having to usher over to the back end of the room to start praying for this woman who was choking. I don't know if she had COPD but she was 99. She was 99. She was just a year below Dave at school. She was 99 years old. But in that instant when we started praying, there were ladies around going, oh, hang on, she's breathing now, she's breathing. And I'm thinking, let's just keep praying then. And that's what the last 10 minutes of the meeting was about, praying for this woman. And then I got back in front of the camera and I was still kind of concerned about this woman. But then I thought, well, why am I concerned now? I've handed it over to God. Because that's another thing that we do. We bring things to the cross, but we pick them back up when we're leaving. So we want that release. We want God to move in our situation. So we bring it to the cross, but we kind of spiritually tie it to our wrist. So when we go in, we take it back with us. And then we come back in a couple more weeks and it's a little bit bigger. We have got to leave things at the cross. We have got to believe that God will deal with our situations. I promised God all my kids, but I still find myself mithering him, getting in the way. I have promised my kids to God. There already is. And the biggest problem is me, because I'm dad. And I get a bit, oh, you can't do this, you shouldn't do that, what about God? And you know what? If I've given them to God, I just need to let God. That doesn't mean I just suddenly step away from my life and never worry about them. But I've got to let God move in that situation. Do you know the lighthouse? Yeah, it's that people come and they get a meal. Well, that's not what it is. But I hope we know that, because food is just a tool. It's a tool where we can engage them. It's a tool because I know that they'll come. But we have some weeks can be absolute chaos, because that's the people we're dealing with. We're dealing with people in chaotic life. But you know what? Nine times out of ten, they come and they'll want spiritual guidance. They'll want prayer. They'll want Bibles. They'll come and the week before, we had people in the other room absolutely heartbroken because, you know, we're talking about Mothering Sunday. We're working with mums that have children but can't even see them. Don't even know where they are in the country because they've been taken because of bad life choices. But they're only human, and it still breaks them because inside they've been robbed of being a mum. And that's where the enemy gets in. He robs young mums of being mums by leading them down that path of drugs. But you know what? We have opportunities to pray into situations. We've seen people give their lives to God. And you know what? They might give their lives to Jesus every week. But I'd rather do that than never at all. Because one day, the penny will drop. One day, the chains will come off. So always be praying for whatever outreach we do at this church. Keep praying for those encounters, for those supernatural encounters where you just talk to people about Jesus and chains begin to come off. A lot of our VIPs have become volunteers on some level and gone through baptism. You know, God can move in them situations, in those areas where we feel like, God, are you going to do this? He'll do it. Listen, if it can take an homeless junkie and turn his life around, he can do it with anyone. My mate used to tell me about Jesus, and I wasn't listening, but I used to say, your Jimmy needs that guy. Go and speak to your Jimmy about it. I'll be all right. No one needed Jesus more than me. But thank God he never gave up on me. Thank God he never left me. We sing about him, he never fails us, he never lets us down. That's so true. But you know what? My prayer this morning is get hungry. Become more hungry for God. More of you, God. More of you. Don't let it just be words on a screen, but a declaration that says, you know what? I'm not content with where I'm at. I'm thankful for where you brought me from, but I'm not going to become content with where I am, because I want more. I want more of you, God. I want more. I want to see you move in power. I want to see you move in the miraculous. But to do that, we've got to step out the boat. Because you know what? We step out in faith, then the miracle happens. You look at Peter, he stepped out of the boat because Jesus said, come. He stepped out of the boat, but it wasn't until he stepped out that he walked on water. And it was only when he began to focus on the wind and the waves that he sank. And even then, Jesus reached out. Don't be afraid. One of the worst things for a Christian is comfort zone. It really is. We get comfy. The nice church, the songs we sing, and the inspirational talks, and we get comfy with it. Don't become comfy. Keep allowing God to challenge you, to mould you, to keep moving, to keep breaking things off you. Because until he comes back or calls you home, we've got work to do. It's not just the job of the evangelist, because the Bible says that we're to all do the work of the evangelist. Every one of us preach the gospel, teach people about Jesus. Show the love of God. That's what's wrong with this country. We've lost the principle of the Bible. It's not in the schools anymore. or very, very rarely. I don't even think you can get Bibles in prison anymore because it's offensive. We've got to get back to them principles of loving your neighbour, feeding the poor, the hungry, just showing the love of God. That has got to be who we are because we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors. I don't know who prayed it this morning, but we're ambassadors of the love of God. People don't know what it is anymore to experience true love. We think we've got to give to receive it. The love that we see in the world is sordid. We feel like it's of a sexual nature or something else. So we're not good at receiving it. So people think you've got an agenda. If you tell them in the marketplace, I just want to tell you, I'm a bit busy. Because people don't want to hear it anymore because they're sick and tired of being manipulated. They're sick and tired of being pulled. And before you know it, they've got a direct debit coming out in a month. So the world has become suspicious of everything. But do we stop? No. We keep going. We keep believing. We keep relying on the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, being governed by the Holy Spirit. We will see people get saved. We will see people being healed of all diseases if we apply the Word of God to our life, like it talks about in Mark 16. We have to apply the scriptures to our lives. That's what we have to do. We can't just keep reading it because, you know, someone says, oh, what's your scripture for Sunday morning? We read it off the screen, but we've got to apply it. You know, God speaks a message and gives a word to someone for the church. It's our job then to receive it. Not just text Dave and Andrew and give them a nice text and a nice bit of encouragement, but actually we're to adopt that. How can that work in my life? What can I do with that word, Lord? How can I run with that? How can that become real for me? I've got to go in work tomorrow and I'm going to explain to them again that I just don't go to church on Sunday. That I'm a Bible-believing, born-again Christian who loves Jesus. And I will be here on Good Friday. Leslie knows that. I'm a man of my word. I will be here Good Friday. I'm hoping it's with the blessing of work, but I will be here. Because it's a slippery slope. You miss one meeting. Before you know it, you're working on Sundays. Or something will come up. There'll be an event the night before, so you'll miss church. We've got to be more. We can't just see church as a gathering, a social club, where as Christians we come together and it's nice to catch up. I don't believe that's how church should operate. Church is like it's your power source. There's something powerful about fellowship, but there's a power source from church where the believers come in unity. The gathering of the saints when we worship corporately. There's power in that. When we come because we want to encounter the Holy Spirit. Yes, we can encounter God at home, in the marketplace. But there's something powerful about church. But sometimes we can experience there's a lull in churches. So we come and we might leave at the end, sometimes feeling worse than we did when we come. Because our mind's not connected. Because we've come out of religion. We've come out because that's what we do, and we get nothing from it. You'd be no better going to a cafe if that is your mindset. We have to come and believe that, you know what, when I get into the presence of God, when I'm led in worship, when we're corporately praying, the power of God is going to be released in my life, because I'm a supernatural son and daughter of the Most High God. I'm not playing church. I am church. I'm not just saying it for the sake of getting likes on Facebook and putting together a sermon. I'm saying it because I'm born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, saved by grace, not here by chance. I'm saved by grace. You're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose, and it's a divine purpose. It's more than just saying, I go to church and I'm a Christian. It's more. It's powerful. You've been washed in the blood. Every whip, every insult, every hammer of the nail should have been ours. But Jesus, he took it for us. Why? Because he knew there was something in us that was worth dying for. I've always battled with low self-esteem, low self-worth. So the way I used to combat it was comedy, ridicule. But inside, it used to break me because I didn't feel good enough. I didn't feel worthy. What am I here for? But I'll tell you what I am here for. The main reason I'm here is to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That is my main function. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then everything else will come. Yes, I tell people about Jesus, but my job, my role first as a Christian is to honour my King publicly and in my quiet place. Not to be ashamed, not to stay silent if someone asks me the question, but to boldly tell people who I belong to. I'm just a Christian who loves Jesus, who messes up, who's messed up. But I'm loved. Thank you, Jesus. I'm loved. He died for me. How can I not live for him when he died for me? Hallelujah, what a God. Do you know what? I know it's Mother's Day. I didn't even use my preach, I'll be honest with you. But I will be preaching it tomorrow night. Please tune in. You know, maybe I'll get some of you guys on it. Ooh, put your gift into test. But let's stand. Do you know, I want to just pray before I hand back over to Dave. And you know, we are, guys, and I want to say it again, we, every single person in this room, in this church, who said yes to Jesus, who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, you are what the Bible calls born again. You're new. You're brand new. You're somehow connected with the Holy Spirit, which means you have supernatural abilities beyond your wildest dreams through Jesus. Abilities that allow us to lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. abilities to preach simple gospel messages and lives get changed. That is who we are. We might not always feel like it. We might not always feel that's who we are, but that is who you are. Do you know your identity today? It's in Him. It's in Christ. That's where our identity is. It's in Christ. It's not, my identity is not a support worker or someone who works at Asda. It's not who we are. It's what we do, but it's not who we are. Our identity is in Jesus. It's in Jesus. It's in Jesus. I want to pray a simple prayer for the Holy Spirit. If you've not experienced, we talk about the fire of God. If you've not experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then I'm just going to simply pray a prayer. Simple prayer, because God's not deaf. Just a simple prayer. And if you want to receive something from God, then all you need to do is surrender and receive. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you that you are an amazing God, that you're a wonderful Saviour. Father, I pray, Lord, for every single person in this place right now, every believer, Lord God, that wants to encounter you more, wants more of you, God, that you will send your fire, God, that your fire will fall right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, that hearts will be burned up for you, Father, right now. I pray for every believer, Lord, that has not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit right now, that you will fill them from the head all the way down to the feet, Lord God, that they will begin to overflow your Spirit, God. Lord, I pray for every person, Lord God, that is believing for a miracle this morning. I stand in the gap. Miracles of healing, miracles of finance, miracles, whatever miracles people are believing for. Father, right now I stand in the gap. I stand in agreement, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will just fall right now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Thank you. Bless you, Dave.